This is 105.9 The Region. Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine covering the world of horse racing, is brought to you by Woodbine, Woodbine Mohawk Park, Ontario Racing, and Rocket Ship Racing. Over to your hosts, Ann Romer and Larry Simpson.
Well, good morning and welcome to Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine. So glad you're with us. It is an off week on the road to the Kentucky Derby, but no shortage of amazing stakes events at major tracks throughout North America. Case in point, Oaklawn Park in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and the running of the Grade 3 Whitmore and the Purple Martin Stakes this afternoon. Canadian-born trainer Robertino Deodoro has several expected starters today, including Ninja Warrior in the Whitmore Stakes. Robertino has over 3,100 victories to his name. We're going to find out how he plans to add to that number today on Ponies 24/7. Last weekend was a biggie for Canadian bred horses, including the dynamic 3-year-old filly Waskasu, winner of the $200,000 Grade 3 Florida Stakes at Tampa Bay Downs. She's owned by Chiefswood Stables and trained by Bill Mott. Chiefswood's GM Robert Landy will join us this morning to shed some light on Waskasu's impressive victory last Saturday and who to look out for when it comes to Chiefswood's future equine stars as we edge ever closer to the start of the Woodbine Thoroughbred 2024 meet. And still with Canadian equine stars, Paramount Prince, the winner of last year's King's Plate, also had a winning day at the races last weekend. Co-owner and very enthusiastic friend of the show, Mike Langlois, will give us his impressions of Paramount Prince's performance last Sunday at Gulfstream Park. He'll also look to how and why this could be the Majestic Thoroughbred's best season yet. And finally, he's back. My co-host Larry Simpson will once again try to sniff out some potential betting gems at Woodbine Mohawk Park and some other North American tracks racing today with our Ponies Picks of the Day, sponsored by Rocket Ship Racing. It's going to be a great show. Please get your HPI and Dark Horse accounts ready to go for some heavy-duty action. When we come back, Larry Simpson will join us with our show feature, in case you missed it, Ponies 24/7's recap of the week that was in horse racing news, sponsored by RS Bulk Propane.
Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine, brought to you by Woodbine, Woodbine Mohawk Park, Ontario Racing, and Rocket Ship Racing. More from the track when we come back on 105.9 The Region.
Go from dark horse to winner. Dark Horse is Woodbine's new easy-to-use betting app that brings the thrill of the track right to you. Its AI-powered insights and strategies help you make smarter bets straight out of the gate. Feel the excitement of live-streamed horse races wherever you go. Get $30 to start betting when you sign up today using promo code GET30. Download the app for free at PlayDarkHorse.com. Available on Android and Apple devices.
The Horsemen's Benevolent and Protective Association of Ontario, the HBPA, has represented thoroughbred owners and trainers at Woodbine and Fort Erie racetracks since 1950. The HBPA provides members and their hardworking employees with medical insurance, pensions, benevolence, negotiations with racetracks and government, and provides vital industry information to the horse people. For more information on the HBPA of Ontario, please visit our website at hbpa.on.ca.
Join us on March 30th when Gulfstream Park hosts the $1 million Curlin Florida Derby, a highlight of the Gulfstream Championship racing season and considered by many to be one of the most important preps for the famed Kentucky Derby on the first Saturday in May. The Curlin Florida Derby has a tremendous stakes-filled day of racing with no less than 10 stakes races scheduled. Watch and wager on all Gulfstream Park race days, including Florida Derby Day on March 30th, with your HPI bet account or Dark Horse app. It's the next best thing to being at the track.
Lymphoma Canada and Ponies 24/7 recommend that you don't horse around with lymphoma. Lymphoma affects the lymphatic system of both horses and humans, and currently there are over 100,000 Canadians living with the disease. Lymphoma is also the most common cancer diagnosis for adolescents and young adults. Visit lymphoma.ca/ponies to donate to the Don't Horse Around with Lymphoma campaign. With your help, we can promote early detection, assist newly diagnosed patients, and support lymphoma research.
This is 105.9 The Region. Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine covering the world of horse racing, is brought to you by Woodbine, Woodbine Mohawk Park, Ontario Racing, and Rocket Ship Racing. Over to your hosts, Ann Romer and Larry Simpson.
Welcome back to Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine. I'm Ann Rohmer. Always a pleasure to be with my co-host Larry Simpson and our, in case you missed it, a look at the week that was in horse racing news, sponsored by RS Bulk Propane. Larry, big news, but really not great news out of Tampa Bay Downs last weekend.
No, it was the running of the Tampa Bay Derby, and just as the Florida Oaks, which was the preceding race, finished, the tote system crashed, which means that there was never any prices put up for that race. They delayed the Tampa Bay Derby, trying to get the tote system up and working because they wanted to get betting on it. So it ended up they couldn't keep the horses in the paddock any longer. They had to get them out and to race. So they ran the Tampa Bay Derby without actual pari-mutuel wagering.
Really?
Yeah. And they ended up, there was a race after the Tampa Bay Derby that they just canceled. It also affected several other racetracks in North America. But it was a record precedent thing that you could say this has never happened before.
Did they ever figure out what caused it?
It was a system error with one of the providers or that. I think that they're still looking into it. But basically the Florida Oaks race finished, and there was never any prices put up. Oh. So any of the betting that was done on that was refunded. And the Tampa Bay Derby, if you had bet it previous early, they ended up basically refunding that money as well. So,
but the winners, and that didn't change. If you won the race, you still won the race.
Wow.
That's weird. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it was a precedent-setting thing, you could say. So.
Absolutely. Well, if anybody could handle it, it's Tampa Bay Downs, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Larry. And that's In Case You Missed It, sponsored by RS Bulk Propane on Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine.
Are you looking for a reliable propane supplier for your home or business? Look no further than RS Bulk Propane, Canadian-owned and family-operated. With our premium propane solutions, you'll experience warmth like never before. We offer competitive prices, automated deliveries, and exceptional customer service. Don't let the cold get the best of you. Stay cozy with RS Bulk Propane. Visit rspropane.com or call us today at 855-225-0225.
Welcome back to Ponies 24/7 and our new feature, Road Trip. Our look at one of the showcase races this weekend, and powered by Pineview Hyundai, the smart choice. And Larry, I've just turned my watch back 1 hour in celebration.
Today, Road Trip is back at Oaklawn Park in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Today sees Oaklawn home to two stakes events, the Purple Martin and the $200,000 Grade 3 Whitmore Stakes, which is 6 furlongs on the Oaklawn dirt. In 1944, the Whitmore debuted as the Hot Springs Purse and was won by a horse by the name of Mamo Flag. Originally a race for 4-year-olds and older, in 1948 it became a race for 3-year-olds and served as a prep race for the Arkansas Derby. It did have an off and on history throughout the years, and in 1974 it was run for the last time as a race for 3-year-olds, and then in 1988 the conditions of the race were changed from a handicap to stakes event, and the name was changed to the Hot Springs Stakes. With increased revenues being generated by the nearby Racino, an attractive purse of $200,000 was now up for grabs, and in September 2021, the race was renamed the Whitmore Stakes after one of the greatest sprinters in recent times, and who was actually a winner of the Hot Springs Stakes over 4 consecutive years. Today, a compact field of 7 will compete in this year's edition of the Whitmore, and I believe this race goes through number 2, Tejano Twist, who should be able to sit off the speed of number 3, Rivet, who I believe could face some pressure from a couple other members of this compact field. Kudos to the owner of Tejano Twist, who claimed this guy for $80,000 in June of 2022, and has rewarded his owners with earnings of close to $1 million. There's not too much to separate Tejano Twist and Rivet, except maybe Rivet has not run a triple buyer yet, but I should believe the shape of the race will favor Tejano Twist more than Rivet. So the $200,000 Whitmore Stakes at Oaklawn Park today, number 2, Tejano Twist.
And that's Road Trip, powered by Pineview Hyundai, the smart choice.
Pineview Hyundai, combining horses and horsepower. The Romeo family has been a part of the Ontario thoroughbred industry for over 35 years. And as a provider of the official vehicle of the NHL, they want to invite you to score some huge deals when you visit their Pineview dealership and view the award-winning Hyundai lineup. Visit either store today, 3790 Highway 7 in Vaughan or 180 Delta Park Boulevard in Brampton. For an appointment, call our Vaughan store at 905-851-2851 or Brampton at 905-791-2728. Or visit us online at pineviewauto.com or pineviewwest.ca. We are the smart choice.
Welcome back to Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine. A huge, hearty welcome to famed trainer Robertino Diodoro, who has already racked up dozens of victories and over 1.5 million in purses so far this year. Welcome to the show, Robertino.
Thanks for having me.
Today's the Whitmore Stakes, and you've got a Ninja Warrior in there. Talk about Ninja Warrior.
He's a nice horse. We claimed him, I believe it was his second lifetime start, and he's kind of a horse that took us a while to figure out and get going, but he's a horse that's got lots of talent, and when he's right, he's a very nice horse.
So what did you need to figure out? What was showing that was causing you some, you know, question marks?
He just was very immature. I think the original connections maybe thought maybe he was a turf horse. So just a couple little things, and he's not the tallest horse, but he's definitely filled out. He's kind of built like a quarter horse type, and like I said, just took a little while for him to come around.
Well, let's talk about the Tampa Bay Derby for a minute. You had a horse by the name of Give Me Liberty in there, and as everybody knows, there was a delay in post time because of the toad issue. Do you think that hurt the chances of Give Me Liberty? Did that maybe make him a little bit unsettled in the race?
It definitely could have. I mean, every horse handles a situation like that differently. At the same time, you know, we were taking a big swing at it, and we needed everything to work out right, and I wouldn't necessarily blame the rider, but I thought we just got a terrible trip. Going into the first turn, we had to get checked, and I don't know if it happened then, but sometime during the race, he blew a front shoe. So, I mean, a guy hates excuses, but I thought we had an awful trip, and the horse really never had a chance to show anything, to be honest.
So what's the future hold for him?
We got him back now in Hot Springs, and he ran a couple real good races here at Oaklawn, just in maiden special weights, and that's what we're going to try to, you know, try to break his maiden here at Oaklawn. You know, the purses are so good here, and like I said, he's ran two very good races here.
And what did you do from the race that was kind of dismal for him? What did you do between then and now that has made him kind of spark to life again?
The first thing is we gave him a few extra days of training off. You know, it was a long ship from Tampa to Hot Springs, so you know, just the last couple of days, he's finally come back around, and like I said, all we did was just give him a couple extra days off his training, and of course, make sure he had you know, enough fluids in him, electrolytes and stuff after a long ship.
How would you describe your 2024 season so far?
And no, we've been very happy. You know, as a horse trainer, you always want to win more, but no, we've been very happy with it, and you know, it's that time of year where spring is around the corner, and hopefully we'll get some phone calls to get some two-year-olds in the barn, and always look forward to that. That's always an exciting part, getting young horses in the barn and dreaming about the future.
Robertino, you've got at least 35 victories so far this season, 2024. Who are the horses that are winning for you?
Well, I think one that comes to mind is it's for a couple of reasons. It's fresh in my head as we won the Phoenix Gold Cup at Turf Paradise. And, you know, a lot of people will say, well, the purse is only $60,000. But it's one of those races that's on the West Coast. It's a very prestige race. And it's, I always laugh. I say that they could make the race a $5,000 purse, and they would still get shippers from California to come for it, and they'd still have a full 12-horse field. It's just a very prestige race, and we won it with a horse named Love My Jimmy for the Rosette team, and it was a horse's third win in a row, and pretty exciting, actually.
Let's talk a little bit about yourself. You were born in Canada, right?
Yeah, born in Calgary.
Yeah, so obviously you would have been close to horses. So is that how you got involved in horse racing?
Yeah, my parents on both sides of the family were kind of born into it, very involved, especially my mom's side of the family. My grandpa was, you know, a valet in the jocks room, custodian at the jocks room, trainer, you know, of course, originally a hot walker groom. So my mom, my grandma worked in the mutuals, you know, back in the day when they had Stampede Park and Northlands and, you know, Saskatoon, Regina, Winnipeg. So yeah, it's definitely, you know, I was definitely born into the horse racing game.
You know, I'm just looking you up online, and I see a photo of you. You are a very handsome guy, but you also look like you know what you're doing, and it's going to be my way. What is your style? What is what is your style?
That's a good question. I like, you know, I like to be fair to everyone, right from the owners to the help. I think that's one of the reasons. I think we've got some very good crews together, teams. I always say I'm only one person and got to have some good assistants and teams put together at our locations. And, you know, I've had guys that have worked for me for many years. One of my main assistants, Sean Williams, was the first assistant I ever hired, and he's been with me now 12, 13 years. So, you know, I think that's one thing. I like to treat everyone fair, and I'm very competitive, sometimes maybe too competitive, but it's not really a job. I always say it's a lifestyle. Yeah. There's definitely ups and downs of it, but when you can get up every morning and work with horses, pretty hard to call it a job, and that's just my opinion. And like I said, it's definitely a lifestyle.
And you're very good at all of that, the lifestyle, the everything you do. So,
thank you.
Well, take us back to your first win as a trainer. Where did that happen, and how did you feel?
My first two wins were on the same day as a trainer. It was a track just outside of Calgary called Trout Springs. And it was kind of one of those young and dumb things where the purses were about 700. And I leased two horses off the late Gene White. He was one guy that I really looked up to as a trainer. He was one of the few trainers that actually raced in Alberta, and then in the wintertime he'd race at in Southern California in Turf Paradise. And I really looked up to Gene, and yeah, he had a couple horses that were working out on the A-track, and I'll never forget. It was a I got 90% and Gene got 10%. And I took these horses out to Trout Springs, and the first two wins, they were back-to-back races, and the one race was $650 and the other one was $700. That's what the purse was. pretty crazy.
So Larry asked you, obviously, best horse you've ever trained. I'm going to ask you best horse you will ever train. So you haven't done it yet, or you're in the midst of it, but the horse that you think has a stellar future.
Well, we have a horse right now, Midshipman's Dance, and we really like. She's a three-year-old filly, and she's going to run in the Fantasy here on the 30th at Oaklawn, and we're very excited about her. She won her first two starts. Her last start, she had lots of trouble, and you know, she's only a three-year-old filly that still has a lot of growing up and filling out to do, and you know, that'll come with some time, and we're very excited about her.
So will we see you racing in Canada at all this year? Because I know you're usually at Assiniboia and tracks like that. What's your plans?
Yeah, you know, I got a group of guys from Western Canada that always like to compete in the Manitoba Derby and the Canadian Derby, and even sometimes the BC Derby. So, you know, we're always looking, and you know, I'm sure we'll be making a trip across the prairies for sure.
And just very quickly, your comparison when it comes to racing between Canada and the U.S., what are the biggest differences that stand out to you and similarities?
Well, let's start with the similarity. You know, there's a lot of great people in this game, and that goes again north and south of the border. You know, just a lot of good people I've met and have become friends with in the industry. So that similarities that really doesn't change. It just seems like any racetrack you go to, again, if it's in Canada or the U.S. And I think the difference. I think it's much more like a serious business, which in the U.S. And that probably because the purse money is so much higher in the U.S. It just makes everyone a little more competitive. Again, I'm not saying that Canadian people don't want to be competitive and win, but I just think it's a little more of a serious business than it is in Canada. And, you know, there's good and bad to that too. But anytime you put up the purse money they are at Oaklawn, pretty hard not to take it as a business.
True.
That's right. That's right. Well, Robert Tino, thanks for doing this. And good luck today with Ninja Warrior and the Whitmore, and good luck the rest of the season.
No, I appreciate it. You guys have a great Saturday and the rest of the weekend. And again, I appreciate you guys having me on.
And you as well. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
When we come back, Chiefswood Stables, Robert Landy, next on Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine.
Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine, brought to you by Woodbine, Woodbine Mohawk Park, Ontario Racing, and Rocket Ship Racing. Follow us on Twitter at 1059 The Region. We'll be right back.
Enjoy the thrill of the race anytime with HBIBet.com, the number one betting site for experienced horse players. Join for free and watch and wager when you can't bet at the track. Stream live racing from over 500 tracks from around the world. Bet with ease from anywhere. It's safe and secure. Sign up today and get 1 month free live race streaming. Plus, for a limited time, get a $100 bonus and your first bet is on us. Go to HBIBet.com to join for free today.
Ontario Racing, the excitement of thoroughbred, standardbred, and quarter horse racing at 15 racetracks. We are the voice of the Ontario horse racing industry, and we direct breed improvement programs, set annual race dates, and work on attracting new horse owners and race fans. Ontario Racing is committed to supporting a vibrant industry with one vision, working together for a stronger horse racing community. To get your horsepower, go to OntarioRacing.com and experience the excitement. Ontario Racing, three breeds, one vision.
This is 105.9 The Region. Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine covering the world of horse racing, is brought to you by Woodbine, Woodbine Mohawk Park, Ontario Racing, and Rocket Ship Racing. Over to your hosts, Ann Romer and Larry Simpson.
Welcome back to Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine. We are so pleased to be joined today by friend of the show, Chiefswood Stables General Manager Robert Landy, who last week at Tampa Bay Downs saw 3-year-old filly Waskasu victorious in the Grade 3 Florida Oaks. And what a great, great race that was. And welcome to the show, Robert. Good to have you with us. That must have been an outstanding moment for Chiefswood Stables.
Yes, for sure. You know, we've always had really high hopes for this filly, and it's nice to see that she's doing, you know, living up to her expectations for sure.
She looks like she's a better horse now that she's got on the turf, right?
Yeah, I think it's also got a little bit to do with stretching her out. I mean, she's always handled the dirt well, and speaking to both Mr. Mott and Junior Alvarado, they both seem to think she still handles the dirt okay. Maybe she's a little bit better on the grass, but I really believe stretching her out was the biggest key. I could be wrong, but that's kind of what I've seen and what I think. And I mean, you know, she was pretty strong at the end of that race the other day. So, that might just be it.
Can you actually walk us through that race last weekend?
Yeah, well, we basically, you know, you couldn't ask for a better trip. I mean, she did everything well. She broke well. She was in a great position. Junior did a great job getting her a good trip. You know, we did last time she ran, you know, there was she had an unfortunate trip. She kind of broke, stutter stepped, and then, you know, lost position and then ended up going wide. So, you know, I mean, those things happen in racing, and, you know, she still ran a really good race. So yeah, everything worked out. It's always nice when that happens, because, you know, as everyone knows in horse racing, you know, you can have the best horse, but it doesn't always win.
Yeah, you're right there. But I'm curious, Robert, how did you end up hooking up with Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott?
Well, I mean, you know, he's always been on our radar. And as you know, we were looking at sending horses, our better horses, a horse that we thought could compete at the highest level, to the States. And obviously we looked for trainers. I mean, I've known Bill for a long, long time. And, you know, obviously you want to make sure when you're going to give a horse to someone like that, that you try and give them one that you think a lot of and that you think is going to pan out. I mean, trainers like that, they've earned their stripes. They deserve to get the good horses. And, you know, you want to make sure that the horse warrants being in his barn.
Hmm. And you've got a good horse in Wakasu, that's for sure. Is there a possibility, and we're looking to the future, of course, and we're looking positively, that we could see her at Woodbine for the Woodbine Oaks, or maybe even the King's Plate in August?
Right now, we're going to, you know, obviously there's always that possibility, but right now we are aiming her, you know, to races in the States. We haven't, you know, Bill and I spoke yesterday morning, you know, about a few options that she could potentially run in, a few races that she could potentially run in. You know, obviously I'll speak with Mark and Bob Crumble, and, you know, we'll have a conversation, but, you know, we'll give her a little bit of time to enjoy this win. There is a race in a month at Keeneland going a flat mile, a grade two called the Appalachian, which we'll probably skip. Not 100%, but, you know, maybe just give her a little bit more time in between races. There's a turf stake for three-year-old fillies in Churchill. I believe it's the weekend of the Kentucky Derby. That's something that we will look at. But like I say, you know, we always like to give them a week or so before we, you know, start planning too far ahead, you know, just to give the horse a chance. I think sometimes you can get too far ahead of yourself and you know, not do what's right by the horse. So Mr. Mott is a very, very patient trainer, and, you know, obviously we're going to take guidance from him on where he thinks she's at. But, you know, probably in another week or so, we'll discuss it in a little bit more detail.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Is she not eligible for the Oaks?
Oh, she is.
Yeah.
She is.
But that's not in the...
Well, you know, like we do have other horses as well. And, yeah. And you know, it's a nice race to win and everything. But, you know, if we have a horse that can win at the highest level in the U.S., I think that's what we'd like to try and do. We do have other horses, and it's always great to win the Oaks. But, you know, her being able to win, you know, a Kentucky Oaks or something like that might be nice, too. So, you know, it's you know, from a broodmare point of view, if you were thinking of selling, her winning a grade two in the U.S. would put more value on her than her winning the Canadian Oaks.
Right.
If you, I mean, not that we sell, but if you were thinking about selling and you know, the future, you know, she'd be a lot, especially if you're selling her in the U.S., people would be a lot more likely to buy a mare and spend a little bit more money on a mare that's won a grade two in the U.S. rather than a, you know, a closed race in Canada.
Right. Well, I think probably our listeners want to know, where did the name come from?
Well, the Crumble family, as you know, are from Western Canada,
right.
And it's a place in west out in Western Canada. So actually, there used to be another horse years ago that Josie Carroll trained. It was named Wakasu as well. It would have been 20 plus years ago. So
I remember that horse.
And I have to let you in on a little secret. As the intrepid reporter, which I perhaps used to be, I actually phoned several resorts in Saskatchewan that had Waskasu in their name to find out exactly how to pronounce it this morning. So,
yeah.
I have to ask you, you did mention other horses at Chiefswood. Let's talk about Touch and Ride. Where is he these days?
He is at Woodbine now training. He shipped in about a week or so ago, and he's training. He's doing well. I was speaking to Lane Guilliforti yesterday, and he had a busy season. We kind of put a lot together in a short period of time, and I just thought, in talking to Lane and then talking to the owners, we just thought the best thing to do would just freshen him up a little bit. He was a real slow developer, and we threw a lot at him in a quick period of time. So we just wanted to give him a chance to develop and fill out and mature, and it looks like he's done that. So, obviously we're looking forward to a really big year for him. We're a little disappointed that the Canadian International is not going to be run this year at Woodbine. So that's a race that we kind of pinpointed for him, but we'll just have to maybe look elsewhere.
Yeah, and he's a finalist for a Sovereign Award, correct?
Yes, he is. Yeah. And I think he's got a legitimate chance, obviously. I mean, it's a very competitive group, but him winning an open race, grade three, would have to, give him a little bit more of a chance than just winning a closed race. I think if he had just won the Breeders, I think it would have been a little bit different.
Yeah. Were you surprised, Robert, the way he performed last year?
No, not at all. He was very immature, and originally we never nominated him for the big races for the Canadian Triple Crown. I mean, obviously we supplemented him. But we've always thought highly of him. He was just so, so immature. And, he's every work last spring when I went in, every work, he got better and better and better. And I still don't think we've seen the best of him yet. I'm hoping we still haven't seen the best of him.
Yeah.
So he's what you'd call a late bloomer. And so what do you think you could still see from him?
Well, there's obviously lots of things. I mean, we'll start things out slow. I mean, we've got him training now. We'll look to, run him in some of the races. The one really good thing about him is he seems to handle both surfaces well, and he's also worked well on the dirt. So, he has lots of options. Like I said, we'll let him tell us when he's ready. Mm-hmm. But, and speaking to Lane Guilliforti yesterday, he's really happy at where he's at right now. I mean, obviously, he hasn't worked yet this year, but he's doing everything that's asked of him right now.
So is there any other horses that Chiefs has got racing or potentially racing this year that our listeners should maybe keep an eye on?
Yeah, we have a few down here in Florida that are getting ready to run, horses that haven't run. We have a 4-year-old maiden named Play Me a Tune, who's been training really, really well at Payson Park. Josie Carroll has him. He's getting close to a race. He worked this morning. He had a very good work this morning at Palm Meadows. I was out there to watch him work. And, we're just looking for a spot for him. There's not an ideal spot, but there is a race at Keeneland for him. So that's something we'll look at. We have another maiden that Rachel Halden trains. His name's Running Lights, who has been doing well. So, and then we have a few other horses that had run a few races last year and that are getting ready to get a start into them in the near future. That I sent down here that I thought, we're heading to the Triple Crown and the Woodbine Oaks and that we wanted to make sure we had a good foundation into them, some of them that were lightly raced. And we're looking forward to some big things, a good season this year.
On a broader scale, Robert, can you describe the actual business, which is Chiefswood Stables? How is it run? How important is it to the horse racing industry?
Well, I mean, we're obviously one of the, if not the biggest operations in Canada, and we breed to race, so it's a very, very big commitment by the owners. Obviously, the cost of doing that is very high. We employ a lot of people. We employ a lot of people, and help the industry. We generate, obviously buying feed, fencing, farm equipment, tractors, everything. I mean, we help the economy in a big way, I think, in Canada. And but all that being said, we want to win races. We want to win races at the highest level and try to win a Breeders' Cup, win a Kentucky Derby, Queen's Plate, Oaks. Like, we're trying to do it all, I think. And the owners are very passionate, and I respect them a lot for what they do. And not to mention the retirement program as well. Not to forget to mention the retirement program. Once the horses get to a certain level, they make sure that they have a quality of life, and we try to adopt some out, and Stacy Kremble does that and does a really good job. And also our farm managers, Simon Cassidy, Lane Guilliforti, all our help, all our staff, they're a big part of it. It takes an army to be successful in this business, and even when you do everything right, it doesn't guarantee you anything. But we're very fortunate to have a good team, we obviously really appreciate what everyone does for us. Our trainers, we have a bunch of public trainers that do a tremendous job, and all their staff that work hard on our horses. And we're very lucky. We're very lucky to have people that just love what they do and love to work with the animals. It makes it much easier for us because we love the horses. That's why we're all in the business.
Well, Robert, you've proven through Chiefswood that passion and hard work really works well and is successful. Thanks for doing this, and good luck in this upcoming season.
Great. Thank you both very much. Have a great day.
Thank you, Robert. After the break, Mike Langlois talks about the future of Paramount Prince on Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine.
Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine, brought to you by Woodbine, Woodbine Mohawk Park, Ontario Racing, and Rocket Ship Racing. Listen live at 1059theregion.com.
Are you looking for a reliable propane supplier for your home or business? Look no further than RS Bulk Propane, Canadian-owned and family-operated. With our premium propane solutions, you'll experience warmth like never before. We offer competitive prices, automated deliveries, and exceptional customer service. Don't let the cold get the best of you. Stay cozy with RS Bulk Propane. Visit rspropane.com or call us today at 855-225-0225.
Enjoy the thrill of the race anytime with HPIBet.com, the number one betting site for experienced horse players. Join for free and watch and wager when you can't bet at the track. Stream live racing from over 500 tracks from around the world. Bet with ease from anywhere. It's safe and secure. Sign up today and get 1 month free live race streaming. Plus, for a limited time, get a $100 bonus and your first bet is on us. Go to HPIBet.com to join for free today.
This is 105.9 The Region. Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine covering the world of horse racing, is brought to you by Woodbine, Woodbine Mohawk Park, Ontario Racing, and Rocket Ship Racing. Over to your hosts, Ann Romer and Larry Simpson.
We are so happy to be joined again by Mike Langlois, the co-owner of last year's King's Plate winner Paramount Prince, and he's back on Ponies 24/7 to talk about his majestic thoroughbred's future, but a look back at last weekend's big win at Gulfstream Park. Hey, Mike, it's so wonderful to connect with you again.
Yes, nice to meet you guys too. Nice to talk to you again.
Well, let's get right into it, Mike. Let's talk about Paramount Prince's win last week, and in particular, you and I had a conversation yesterday to set this interview up, and you had an interview, discussion with jockey Rad Ortiz after the win, and what did he say about your horse?
Well, I actually thanked him for taking the time to ride our horse, and he said, it was a pleasure, thank you. He says, I just loved riding an amazing horse, and boy, I ride him anytime. He just ran so well, he made my job easy.
Mm-hmm. And can we talk about the difference between, let's say, the Kings played in his run there, victorious, and last weekend's victory? What's been done differently in terms of training Paramount Prince? What are you seeing that's different or the same about him?
Well, you know, and I, like I said, I don't pretend to know a lot about horse racing, but at the end of the day, Paramount Prince was doing amazing last year. He just really grew into things. But, you know, trying to go for that triple crown is very, very difficult. And I think he was exhausted by the end of it. And so I think the biggest difference was Mark said, look, we're going to just give him a rest, let him rest for a few months. He's worked hard and have him come out of the gates, you know, feeling really good in the spring. So they found that he was, you know, I'm sure they did the same thing, but they gave him a good rest. And then they started breezing him in January, I think in January, February, and he was looking good. So they said, we're going to find a race for him out here. And so that's what they did. And he looked great. You know, he looked like he never missed a beat. And Mark was quite impressed because he said, considering he's been down for that long, you know, you're not sure how long it's going to take him to get back in the swing of things, but he didn't miss a beat. He just took off. And like the old story, wire to wire, he came out of that gate and said, catch me if you can.
Yeah, that's what he does. And you flew there to be at that race. And I remember from the last time we spoke, you said to us that you had a little chat with Paramount Prince before the King's Plate. Did you have a chat this time around at Gulfstream?
Yeah, I do. I do. I just told him, I said, look, Paramount, here you are, new place to run, and I just want you to go out there and have a lot of fun. And he sure did. He had fun.
Yeah.
He was after the race, actually, we wanted to let him rest a bit, but I had some family that are in Florida, so there was 13 of us, and that's an interesting story in itself. But they all went, well, you know, he was number 13. It was a whole bunch of 13s, and now again, when we booked the reservation, we thought, oh, my God, 13 people again. This is hilarious. So anyway, we went back to the barn, and Paramount was just having so much fun with these guys taking pictures. He stops. He sees a camera, and he stops. It's unbelievable. So everybody wanted to meet him, and then we noticed he was, like, bowing his head up and, like, doing, like, a yes sort of thing, up and down, up and down. So I asked Omar, the trainer there, like, why is he doing it? He says, because he's happy. He's really happy. So I said, oh, that's great. You know, he says he's a pretty happy horse.
That's fantastic, Mike.
Yeah. Were you surprised, Mike, that he won so easily last week?
You know, I'm always nervous before every race. I'm thinking, you know, I'm always hoping, trying to be positive. I'm thinking, how's he going to do? I know he can do it. But, you know, it's like the way my wife says all about it. She says it's like children. Some days they want to perform, some days they don't. So we'll see what happens. But he was ready to go, and he just loves it. He really does love to run.
And he looked decidedly different last weekend than he did at the Breeders' Stakes at Woodbine. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I guess he was, number 13. 100%. He was 13th. I'm sorry.
Well, they just, I forget exactly what happened, but Patrick told me at the time that his stride wasn't right, so I just shut him down. I didn't want to hurt him or anything.
Yeah.
So that was it. That was more important to take care of the horse than to worry about, you know, trying to finish the race and, you know, respectably or something. So it is what it is. And he did a lot, and he ran so much, and we're so proud of him. The guy is just so full of energy that normally they say they like to give him a bit of a rest after they run a race, and they had to get him out there to breeze yesterday because he was just wanting to get out there and run. He was just antsy. So they said, oh, we better put him out there. We don't want him getting, you know, bored or whatever. He likes to run. He wants to play all the time, so it's great.
And he's happy. I mean, that's got to be pivotal, that bit of information.
Yeah, he is such a happy horse. He really is.
Well, when we had you on last year, Mike, you said that he was a dream come true horse. Have you woke up yet?
No. I still pinch myself and say to myself, how did we get so lucky? And it's the funny thing is that Paramount has so much, not just attitude, he has a great personality. And so much so that he really thinks that he's the guy. You know, I don't know how he got like that, but even in Florida, when they were talking to me, they said everybody loves him. They all want to ride him. Mm-hmm. He's one of the favorites out here, and we've got a nickname for him. And I said, well, what's that? He goes, the barn bully.
Oh. You know, so
he's like, this is my barn, you know, whatever. But no, it's when I say it's a dream come true, and I think that, you know, how do we get this lucky? But it's right now, actually, My wife writes children's books, like picture books, and she's actually been writing the story about Paramount Prince and all the emotional situation with regards to our late son and everything and the whole story around it and how it all came to be and what we believe it's all about. And it's pretty emotional. It's been good for her to write this out. And but yeah, this is more than just luck in a race. There's something special about our connection with Paramount Prince. We really believe that.
Have you and your wife been inspired at all by Cody's wish?
Well, you know what? There's so many of those kinds of stories, you know, and we're just so, I hate to say it, but we're just so involved with Paramount that you don't really think about anything else, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I do have to ask you this.
But the Cody's wish story was making me cry.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't like to do that.
Yeah, and I watching Paramount Prince on at the King's Plate made me cry in good tears, and that's for sure. So I would like to, Larry mentioned that you have been quoted as saying Paramount Prince is a dream come true. So what are your hopes and dreams for him this season?
You know, it's like I've said before, I want him to be healthy and happy, and he's done so much for us and our family. And I'm not talking about financially, because as you know, there's not a lot of money in horse racing. You know, there's a lot of expenses and a lot of things can go wrong. It's just about what he's done for us personally, for our family. And I want him to be recognized. At the end of the day, I'm hoping that he's going to be looked at as one of the greatest horses that ever came out of Canada. Mm-hmm. And I know that's a lot to say, but I just hope he keeps doing well and stays healthy and stays happy and whatever. You know, right now Mark's working on what we're going to do with him, what the direction is going to be for Paramount, what we have planned for him this year. So I always put it in the hands of people that know best.
Well, speaking of Mark, Mark's a good friend of the show. Talk about Mark Cassie as a trainer.
You know what? It's that guy is a class guy through and through and a good heart. When I first joined up with Mark, I won't get into all that story about it, but I was worried because we only had one horse. And I'm thinking, really, Mark, do you really care about us? And he told me, so Mike, a good horse is a good horse. And if you're a client, you're a client. We're going to give him every opportunity that every other horse has had. And I'm telling you, those guys make me part of the team. They communicate with me all the time. They never make me feel dumb when I ask a question. And he's always there for as busy as that guy. I don't know how much everybody knows about Mark, but he is so involved in, you know, improving the racing industry and doing everything he can besides looking after all the horses he takes care of and the people around him. It's I don't know how he does it, honestly. But he's first class, that guy. I tell you, luckiest guy in the world to be connected to him and Gary and Catherine, the whole team and David. It's all of them. The list goes on. I mean, I wouldn't be here talking about Paramount, I believe, if it wasn't for Mark and his team.
That's nicely put. That's nicely put. So let me ask you this. Gary Barber, the co-owner of Paramount Prince, you two co-own him. Do you own any other horses together?
Yes, that was interesting, too, because Gary's been really nice to me as well. And I am back in the yearling sale in August. We went there to, you know, brought their grandkids because they like seeing all the horses. And I heard that Paramount Prince's little sister was there. So it was half sister. So we went and took a look at her. That was a mistake. So I thought, oh, geez, she's beautiful. So I phoned Mark. I said, Mark, would you take care of another horse for me? And he said, what are you thinking about? So I told him, and he said, well, Gary's already going after that one. I said, well, okay, I'm not going to be competing with Gary. So I said, I was just wondering. That's fine. And I kid you not, Mark took the initiative, called me back 10 minutes later, and he said, Mike, Gary loves working with you. He thinks you're a great guy, and we've had a good relationship. If you want to partner on that horse, let's go in for it together. And so we did, and we bought her. And it's just like I say, he didn't have to do that, you know, and he did. He's a super guy.
Mm-hmm. And that horse's name is?
Super Supreme, and she's doing great. Mark figures she's going to be ready to start running in May, so we're going to see what she's able to do.
So Paramount Prince and Super Supreme, that's great. And you've mentioned, and you did this the last time that we spoke, that you admit that you don't know a lot about horse racing, but you're learning. It's such a huge learning curve for you. Is it a pleasant learning curve for you?
It is. It is, you know, because there's so many things you don't understand. The first thing is let the people do their job. You know, I mean, enjoy what horse racing is really all about for people, is going out there with your family and friends and enjoying the experience of being a horse owner. I can't tell you how amazing that really is. You got to try it to really understand it. So that's first and foremost. And after that, I let them do all the hard work and figuring out what needs to be done. And I never question anything that they say because they know best. And that's the way I feel about it.
Yeah. And as you know, April is Sovereign Award Month, and Paramount Prince is a finalist for the 3-year-old male horse of the year. What would it feel like to win the Sovereign?
Oh, I mean, you know, again, it's like, I can't believe he's made it to the final three, and I'm just so proud of him. And so I don't want to get emotional, but I'm just so proud for him. I'd like him to be recognized for the horse that he really is. But I mean, either way, we're just happy. We're exactly, you know, thrilled to death that he's actually been considered.
That's got to be an honor, that is for sure. So,
it's amazing.
So let's talk about the next steps for Paramount Prince. What is he entered in next? What have you got in mind for him?
Well, he ran so well in Florida, so we're thinking he may run again in Florida before he comes home.
Yeah.
And that's basically as far as we've gone. Mark and I have had a few discussions, but I don't really want to say anything until after we're, you know, sure of what we're going to do. But that's the next step, is he may run again before he comes home.
Well, before we let you go, obviously, you're probably going to add to your stable this year, correct?
I don't know. We keep laughing about it. We're joking, and it was a one-horse experiment. Now we got two. I have no idea. I think, you know, we just kind of play it one day at a time and enjoy this. I'm so excited to see Paramount go again, but now we got Super Supreme, and we're wondering how she's going to do. And this, you know, started like just let's do this and have a little bit of fun with Jamie, and all of a sudden, look where we are, you know?
It's incredible. Mike Langlois, thank you so much for taking time today on Ponies 24/7. So we will be watching Paramount Prince and Super Supreme this season, and all good things to you and your family, and of course to your incredible athletes, your equine athletes.
Well, thank you so much, and for taking the time to talk to me as well and sharing Paramount's story. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for doing this.
Take care.
After the break, Larry Simpson looks at some racing action today around North America, including Woodbine Mohawk Park, and some racing at other North American tracks. So please make sure your HPI accounts and Dark Horse app are ready to work overtime today. Stay with us for Lucky Larry's Ponies Picks of the Day, sponsored by Rocket Ship Racing.
Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine, brought to you by Woodbine, Woodbine Mohawk Park, Ontario Racing, and Rocket Ship Racing. Listen live at 1059theregion.com.
Discover a new breed of excitement with live horse racing. Ontario Racing represents 15 racetracks where you can experience the excitement of thoroughbred, standardbred, and quarter horse racing. To find the racetrack nearest you, go to OntarioRacing.com. New to betting? Check out our Betting 101 page and learn about the HPI Bet wagering platform and the Dark Horse app. The best and safest online betting options. Get your horsepower at OntarioRacing.com and experience the excitement. Ontario Racing. Three breeds, one vision.
The Horsemen's Benevolent and Protective Association of Ontario, the HBPA, has represented thoroughbred owners and trainers at Woodbine and Fort Erie racetracks since 1950. The HBPA promotes the exchange of ideas to further advance, market, and preserve live racing in Ontario while offering new thoroughbred ownership opportunities. Membership to the HBPA is free for owners and trainers. For more information on the HBPA of Ontario, please visit our website at hbpa.on.ca.
Join us on March 30th when Gulfstream Park hosts the $1 million Curlin Florida Derby, a highlight of the Gulfstream Championship racing season and considered by many to be one of the most important preps for the famed Kentucky Derby on the first Saturday in May. The Curlin Florida Derby has a tremendous stakes-filled day of racing with no less than 10 stakes races scheduled. Watch and wager on all Gulfstream Park race days, including Florida Derby Day on March 30th, with your HPI Bet account or Dark Horse app. It's the next best thing to being at the track.
Pineview Hyundai, combining horses and horsepower. The Romeo family has been a part of the Ontario thoroughbred industry for over 35 years. And as a provider of the official vehicle of the NHL, they want to invite you to score some huge deals when you visit their Pineview dealership and view the award-winning Hyundai lineup. Visit either store today, 3790 Highway 7 in Vaughan or 180 Delta Park Boulevard in Brampton. For an appointment, call our Vaughan store at 905-851-2851 or Brampton at 905-791-2728. Or visit us online at pineviewauto.com or pineviewwest.ca. We are the smart choice.
This is 105.9 The Region. Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine covering the world of horse racing, is brought to you by Woodbine, Woodbine Mohawk Park, Ontario Racing, and Rocket Ship Racing. Over to your hosts, Ann Romer and Larry Simpson.
Before we wrap up our show, what would Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine, be without a couple of possible betting opportunities and potential betting gems, as Larry, and I like to call him Lucky, gives us his Ponies Picks of the Day, sponsored by Rocket Ship Racing. Are you feeling lucky today, Larry?
I'm hoping to feel lucky, a little later.
Diplomatic of you.
Yeah, let's start at Santa Anita. They have a 9-race card today, and race 5 is an optional $50,000 claiming event, 6.5 furlongs on the turf for 3-year-old California-bred or sired fillies, purse of $67,000. 9 have been entered, including number 8, Can't Sleep, who debuted on February 10th, and despite veering inward and bumping with a rival at the start, this filly rallied 4 wide on the turn, and despite being on the wrong lead in the stretch, she pulled away to win by 2 lengths at the wire. That was a better-than-look race, and despite not being a fan of horses going into a race with winners and winning in their first start with them, this race by Can't Sleep was just too impressive to ignore. Can't Sleep has worked twice since that race, and with one start under her belt, this girl should be able to get the job done again today. So Santa Anita, race 5, number 8, Can't Sleep. Woodbine Mohawk Park has a 10-race card tonight. Race 9 is a 1-mile pace for a purse of $18,000. A field of 9, including number 3, Head Honcho, who has been claimed his last 2 starts, races that he has been victorious in both. This guy was claimed 2 back from Richard Moreau by Carmen Asiello, and then last week, I like the fact that Moreau reached back in and claimed this guy back. Tonight, there's no chance that Head Honcho will be claimed back by Asiello unless he wants to dip in for $50,000. Though it's an allowance race, the only way Head Honcho qualifies for the race is through the optional claiming tag of $50,000. This shows that Richard Moreau must like this guy. And why not? He's won his last 2 in wire-to-wire fashion. So Woodbine, Mohawk Park, race 9, number 3, Head Honcho. And here's another Woodbine, Mohawk Park value play in race 10, a 1-mile pace, purse of $19,000 for 5-year-olds, none winners of 2 races, or $30,000 lifetime. 10 horses have been entered, and number 4, RJ Super Freak, certainly outran his odds last week when he was almost 62-1 in the exact same class as tonight's event. Part of the reason could have been that RJ Super Freak went into last week after missing some time and also a 10th place finish in that last start on February 24th and a race that he didn't get off the gate well after leaving from post 9 and being basically parked much of the way. Last week he didn't get much post relief either from the 7 hole but did get away and sat a 3-hole trip and finished 3rd beaten 1.25 lengths. And again, as I said, at almost 62-1 odds. A better post tonight, back on a regular rotation, and the price may be good as well. Woodbine Mohawk Park, race 10, number 4, RJ's Super Freak.
Thank you, Larry. Great work as always. See you next weekend. And before we go, a quick shout out to Mark at Fans of Horse Racing. Hi, Mark. And goodbye and thank you all for joining us for this edition of Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine. Just a little reminder, if you would like to receive a free digital copy of the current issue of Ponies 24/7 magazine and a new one will be released shortly, please email Larry Simpson at theponies247experience@gmail.com. And don't forget about the Ponies 24/7 Lymphoma Canada campaign, Don't Horse Around with Lymphoma. For more information on this, go to the landing page, lymphoma.ca/ponies. Please donate to this very worthy cause. Stay with 105.9 The Region all weekend long, and thank you so much for listening.
Ponies 24/7, the radio magazine with Ann Rohmer and Larry Simpson, has been brought to you by Woodbine, Woodbine Mohawk Park, Ontario Racing, and Rocket Ship Racing. Tune in next Saturday morning at 8 for more from the world of horse racing. This is 105.9 The Region.